Throughout August, we have been exploring the kind of grounding that Pastor Jenny talked about with the children this morning. And it is always a blessing and in the Spirit when the Spirit moves through our prayers as we craft worship together to bring those pieces together in words and music and prayer as we gather our hearts today. In these weeks of August, we've been exploring what we as Presbyterians call the great ends of the church in our tradition. We have looked at the church in its role in the maintenance of divine worship to keep our focus on God and God's will for our lives, and on the church's role in the promotion of social righteousness, living our faith in the world in mission, as we explored last week. And today we look on our theme this day as we worship together on hope, that kind of grounding of how it is that the church through its worship can be the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven in the world. As we prepare to wrestle with these passages of scripture and turn to hope through prayer, will you pray with me? Lord, as we encounter your word in Paul's words, let us open ourselves to your will alone. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As we look around the world in which we live, as we lift in prayer the prayer concerns that we just heard and in the places of our own hearts and lives where we have deep concerns, it is far too easy to lose hope. To yearn perhaps for that glad heavenly reunion or place of eternal rest. The head of staff that I worked with when I was first ordained about 25 years ago, and I used to have a saying when things got particularly tough in the lives of our community or in the work that we were doing together in the church, we had this saying that we would come into a staff meeting and say, well, maybe Jesus will come back tomorrow and take care of all of this. It is natural, I think, for us to yearn for this kind of kingdom of heaven. And yet this great end of the church challenges us to live forth our lives today in hope. Not just for some future reality, but as we gather in worship together to be empowered and emboldened to embrace God's promises, such as we hear in this chapter of Romans 8, to pray for our world. And indeed, we know that the news of our world is bleak. And in some of our cases, too, the news in our own lives is bleak. Hope is hard to find at times. And yet our scripture and our tradition are filled with examples of the ways in which God is ever beckoning us to ground ourselves in a hope that is not of this world, a hope that the world did not give, and a hope that the world can never take away. God is seeking to draw near to us, to empower and embolden us, to remind us that God never leaves or forsakes us, even in the darkest of days. In worship, in song, in prayer, in word, in fellowship with one another, we are reminded that as we gather together, we put our focus collectively on God. We encounter a God who hears and answers and speaks, so often in ways that we do not expect and could never resolve on our own, does not give as the world would give or act, and we are empowered in that moment to move forward in faith on that journey that we just sang about. I love the scriptures and passages of scriptures such as this that can be read in all times and places in people's lives. Perhaps you know and think of those kinds of scriptures. I have heard these words from Romans 8 be read at weddings and funerals, in morning devotions, at house blessings, at moments of great peril and time of distress and stress and anticipation in people's lives. We come to worship in that kind of spirit of openness, coming from many different places of joy and of pain. We come together to listen for God's word to us this day. Karl Barth, the great Reformed theologian, once said that if the church cannot preach a word of hope, then we might as well just stay home and play cards. At the heart of this passage in Romans and in the heart of our worship is prayer as the grounding of that hope. And we are reminded of that key phrase of the Lord's Prayer, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our passage today in Paul's text in Romans gets to the heart of prayer and the challenges that it raises for us. This practice of prayer, and it is a practice for our lives, is rooted in what God has already done and is doing in us and to us, and what God is calling forth from us as we listen for and respond to the will of God. It is the work of the Spirit as we see in the teachings and practice of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we are reminded here in this passage. And we are assisted in prayer and challenged to trust God to be at work in all things. Paul talks and speaks about the Spirit of God dwelling within us, the power of that covenant that God has made with us, that the psalmist recalls for us in this text today. If you haven't spent much time in this chapter in Romans, I encourage you to do so, for in it you will find the encouragement to seek a Spirit that is already at work seeking us. To call us into a life with Jesus Christ at the center of our lives, so that we might truly seek the will of God in all things and not go off on our own way. So there are two parts of this text that I want us to consider very briefly today. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, and in all things, God works together for good. I invite you to ponder that in this week ahead, particularly as we might be sending children off to school and into new adventures, or going off into schools ourselves into those adventures. First, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Are we praying in these days for our world actively? For the tumult of the Middle East, brought closer to us ever in the connections to this congregation with Egypt, Iraq, Afghanistan, Lebanon, Syria. The disciples asked Jesus, then how should we pray? And each week in worship we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, our Father who art in heaven. We have a guide from Jesus in word and areas of concern. But this passage tells us in Paul's writing that even if we cannot find the words, the Spirit of God understands our deepest longings, literally the unutterable groans of our lives, and lifts those on our behalf to God. It is a Spirit that we can trust. And what matters is for us to take that time, to bring our willingness to invite that Spirit to live in us and help bring voice to the prayers. A grandfather a number of years ago was going by his little granddaughter's room one night when he saw her kneeling beside her bed, head bowed and hands folded, repeating the alphabet. "What are you doing?" he asked her. She explained, "I'm saying my prayers, but I couldn't think of just how I wanted to say them. So I'm saying all the letters, and God can put them together however God thinks best." If you have sat by the bedside of a loved one or a friend when there are no words, You know that the words that we say when we pray aren't as nearly as important as showing up, as the attitude of openness and reverence toward God, the willingness to seek God's will. Our friends, the Quakers, know this. They know that in this listening, there is a movement of the Spirit that transforms. Hannah Hernard wrote, "It is not that prayer changes God or awakens in God purposes of love and compassion that God has not already felt. No, it changes us, and therein lies its glory and its purpose. We are changed and empowered, often in very mysterious ways, to be grounded in God and called forth into new life, no matter what are our earthly circumstances. And we pray earnestly for that to be true, particularly in the world in which we live in these days. It's a process, a discipline, a practice." Secondly, we consider this morning Paul's words that in all things God works together for good in verse 28. God is the subject of these verses in Romans, just as God is the subject and object of our worship. Most translations, including the one read this morning by Beatrice, say all things work together for good, but the New International Translation translates this, "In all things God works." And in the footnotes to the text that you'll find in all of these translations, both possibilities are acknowledged. In all things, God works together for good. Do you believe that? Can you accept that? The text is not saying that all things are good, or certainly not that God wills all things that happen in this imperfect world we live in to happen, but that rather God is actively at work for good in the process of all things. There's a big difference. This is our ground of hope. If we would keep our focus in God and not just what we as individuals would like to see happen, it's part of the major reason we gather in community to ground that. We live in an in-between time. Jesus has come to bring the kingdom, but the kingdom has not fully arrived. We know that. A present and a future hope. We need only look at the world around us to see that kind of imperfection on a personal, communal, and global level. And yet this text strongly affirms God is still in the midst of it all. Not just in a heavenly beyond, but as we move through this life and reach for the promise of God's eternal power. Reverend Tom R. writes in Life in the Waiting Room, "At times, the only hope that the church could muster was hope for a life beyond this life, which is to say that at times the church has boiled the gospel down to mean that the sole purpose of Jesus was to get us into heaven. As Richard Foster says, a more careful reading of the scripture reveals that the greater purpose of Jesus was to get heaven into us. That is the promise of covenant that God has with us all, a promise that is reaffirmed as we worship together, as we hear the amazing ways that God answers prayers, as we honestly bring our joys, our concerns, our moments of despair to God, and are ever reminded that God is God and we are not. It is a power that leads us to discover and place ourselves in God's world for our world and for this life. Later in Romans, Paul will write, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Through prayer, we acknowledge that we are joined with God in this adventure of faith, with God and with one another. It's not all about us, but how we will live into the kingdom of God, to be in our lives and an exhibit of that kingdom, the hope of God for new life and peace and justice for all God's people. It's about how we will witness to that in our lives through the power of the Spirit. As the brief statement of faith puts it, In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing. So let us pray without ceasing for our own lives and for all parts of the world which are in God's hand, to which God calls us to take our part in the will of God. May we be assured that God is in all things, working for good, and God's perfect will, which is for hope and the fullness of life for all God's people. Amen.